Chapter 5. Kylar had never started a war. Approaching the Lee Nought camp required none of the stealth he'd used to approach the Siurans. Invisible, he simply walked past the sentries in their black tabards, emblazoned with a golden sun, the pure light of reason beating back the darkness of superstition. Kylar grinned. The Lee Nought were going to love the Night Angel. The camp was huge. It held an entire legion, 5,000 soldiers, including 1,000 of the famed Lee Nought Lancers. As a purely ideological society, the Lee Nought claimed they held no land. In practice, they'd occupied Eastern Cenaria for 18 years. Kylar suspected this legion had been sent here as a show of force to deter Kalador from trying to push further east. Maybe they just happened to be here. In truth, he didn't care. The Lee Nought were bullies. If there had been a shred of integrity in their claim of fighting black magic, they would have come to Cenaria's defense when Kalador invaded. Instead, they'd bided their time, burning local witches and recruiting among the Cenarian refugees. They'd probably been hoping to come to the rescue after Cenaria's power was obliterated and take even better lands for their pains. Without provoking anyone, Cenaria had been invaded from the east by the Lee Nought, from the north by Kalador, and now from the south by Siura. It was about time some of those hungry swords met each other. A smoking black blade slid from Kylar's left hand. He made it glow, wreathed in blue flames, but kept himself invisible. Two soldiers, chatting instead of walking their patrol routes, froze at the sight. The first one was a relative innocent. In the other's eyes, Kylar could see that the man had accused a miller of witchcraft because he wanted the man's wife.
"Murderer," Kylar said.
He slashed with the Kakari sword. The blade didn't so much cut as devour. There was barely any resistance as the blade passed through nose guard, nose, chin, tabard, gambeson, and stomach. The man looked down, then touched his split face where blood gushed. He screamed, and his entrails spurted out. The other sentry bolted, shrieking. Kylar ran, pulling his illusions around him. As if through smoke, there were glimpses of gleaming, iridescent black metal skin, the crescents of exaggerated muscles, a face like judgment, with brows pronounced and frowning, high angular cheekbones, a tiny mouth, and glossy black eyes without pupils that leaked blue flames. He ran past a knot of gaunt Cenarian recruits, wide-eyed at the sight of him, weapons in hand, but forgotten. There were no crimes in their eyes. These men had joined because they had no other way to feed themselves. The next group had participated in 100 burnings, and worse.
"Raper!"
Kylar yelled. He slid the Kakari sword through the man's loins. It would be a bad death. Three more died before anyone attacked him. He danced past a spear and lopped off its head, then kept running for the command tents at the center of the camp. A trumpet shrilled an alarm, finally. Kylar continued down the lines of tents, sometimes slipping back into invisibility, always reappearing before he killed. He cut loose some of the horses to create confusion, but not many. He wanted this army to be able to react quickly. In minutes, the entire camp was in pandemonium. A team of horses dragging their hitching post bolted, the post whipping back and forth, tangling in tents and dragging them away. Men screamed, shouting obscenities, gibbering about a ghost, a demon, a phantasm. Some attacked each other in the darkness and confusion. A tent went up in flames. Whenever an officer emerged, shouting, trying to bring order, Kylar killed. Finally, he found what he was looking for. An older man burst out of the largest tent in the camp. He threw a great helm on his head, the symbol of a Li-Naught underlord, a general.
"Form up, hedgehog!" he shouted. "You fools! You're being beguiled! Hedgehog formation, damn you!"
Between their terror and his voice being muted by the great helm, few men listened at first. But a trumpeter blew the signal again and again. Kylar saw men starting to form loose circles of 10 with their backs to each other, spears out.
"You're only fighting yourselves! It's a delusion! Remember your armor!"
The underlord meant the armor of unbelief. The Li-Naught thought superstitions only had power if you believed in them. Kylar leapt high into the air and let himself become visible as he dropped in front of the underlord. He landed on one knee, his left hand to the ground, holding the sword. His head bowed. Though the cacophony continued in the distance, the men nearby were stunned to silence.
"Underlord," the Night Angel said, "for you I bear a message."
He stood.
"It is nothing but an apparition," the Underlord announced. "Gather, Eagle Three!"
The trumpeter blew the orders, and the soldiers began jogging to take up positions. Over 100 men crowded the clearing in front of the Underlord's tent, forming a huge circle around him, spears pointing in. The Night Angel roared, blue flames leaping from his mouth and eyes. Flames trickled back down the sword. He whipped the sword in circles so fast it blurred into long ribbons of light. Then he slapped it back into its sheath with a pulse of light, leaving the soldiers blinking away after images.
"You Li-Naught fools," the Night Angel said. "This land is Caladoran now. Flee or be slaughtered. Flee or face judgment."
By claiming to be Caladoran, Kylar hoped to draw any backlash onto the Siorans disguised as Caladorans who were trying to kill Logan and all his men. The Underlord blinked. Then he shouted,
"Delusions have no power over us! Remember your armor, men!"
Kylar let the flames dim, as if the Night Angel were unable to sustain itself without the Li-Naught's belief. He faded until the only thing visible was his sword, moving in slow forms, morning shadows to Hayden's glory, dripping water to Kevin's blunder.
"It cannot touch us,"
the Underlord announced to the hundreds of soldiers now crowding the edges of the clearing.
"The light is ours. We do not fear the darkness."
"I judge you," the Night Angel said. "I find you wanting."
He faded completely and saw relief in every eye around the circle. Some men and women openly grinning and shaking their heads, amazed but victorious. The Underlord's aide-de-camp led his horse to him and handed him the reins and his lance. He mounted, looking like he knew he needed to start giving orders, reasserting control, getting the men to act so they wouldn't think, so they wouldn't panic. Kylar waited until he opened his mouth, then bellowed so loudly he drowned out the man's voice.
"Murderer!"
crescents of biceps and knotted shoulder muscle and glowing eyes were all that appeared, followed by a whoosh of flames as the spinning sword came alight. A soldier toppled to the ground. By the time his head rolled free of his body, the Night Angel was gone. No one moved. It wasn't possible. An apparition was the product of mass hysteria. It had no body.
Slaver!
This time, the sword appeared only as it jutted out of the soldier's back. The man was lifted on the sword and flung headlong into the side of the iron cauldron. He jerked, his flesh sizzling on the coals. But he didn't roll away.
Torturer!
The Legion's gentler stomach opened.
Unclean! Unclean!
The Night Angel screamed, its whole figure glowing, burning blue. It killed left and right.
Kill it!
The Underlord screamed. Wreathed in blue flames that whipped and crackled in long streams behind him, Kylar was already flipping clear of the circle, staying visible and burning. He ran straight north, as if heading back to the Caladoran camp. Men dove out of his path. Then Kylar extinguished the flames, went invisible, and came back to see if his trap had worked.
Form up!
The Underlord shouted, his face purple with rage.
We march to the forest. It's time to kill some witches, men. Let's go. Now!